I'm talking. Introduce. Today is July 14th, 2001. I'm sitting here with Irma Lawrence in her daughter's home in Kasan, Alaska, and my name is Jean Breinig. And the first thing that I'm going to ask Irma is to please give your English name, your birth date, and where you were born.
Okay, Jeannie, I'm glad to be here with you, you know, to do some recording. My name is Irma Lawrence. I was a Baranovich. I was not born in Kasan, but I was born on the West Coast because in August everybody was over there sailing, you know. But I was raised here in Kasan. My parents were Mr. and Mrs. Nicholas Baranovich.
Mm-hmm. And what's your birth date? Do you know the?
My birth date is 8/2/12.
Oh, August 2nd.
Huh? Almost a century.
Yes, my goodness. That's wonderful. Yeah. So it was born. You were born in 1912?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And do you have a Haida name? And if so, could you tell us what that is, please?
Yes, I do have a Haida name. I'm named after my grandma Baranovich that lived here all her life. And the name is Aljush. Aljush. It's kind of hard to say. And it means one who stands above. And it also indicates beauty. Beauty. Mm. It was hard to explain, but I understand that word, Aljush, one who stands up. Mm. And I thought you'd like to know the meaning of it.
Yes, it's a beautiful name, and I see it fits you very well.
That's what everybody say that does. I've worked with.
Yes, it does.
All the language that I've mm-hmm. worked with.
You have such a good spirit, and that's a good name for you. Your clan, do you know your clan name and the name of it? Or, like, you know, are you Raven?
Let's see, I'm a Double-Head Eagle. Mm-hmm. And I belong to the Tseitlanas of Kasan, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, thank you. You said this name you had was the same as your given to you by your grandmother? Mm-hmm. Is that what? And who was your grandmother?
Mary Baranovich.
Mary Baranovich. Yeah. Uh-huh. Do you know who? Did she have a name before she had Baranovich, a maiden name, or was it just an Indian name?
She had a full name. I have it written somewhere, mm-hmm. but it sounds French because my grandma was half Haida and half French.
Oh.
So my dad had only 1/4 of Haida, the rest 1/4 French, and the rest was Austrian.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty good combination.
Mm-hmm.
They were beautiful people, too. They look Italian. You mm-hmm. know, they were never considered mm-hmm. to be native.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Ketchikan.
Could you give the names of your parents and full mm-hmm. names of your parents, grandparents, and
mm-hmm. Let's see. Of course, in those days, people were picked for each other. You know, they were of equal status. And mother was raised on the West Coast in a little village of Tlinquan. Mm. Yeah. And her father's name was Edwin Scott. My brother Edwin carries that full name, Edwin Scott Baranovich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were picked for each other. Grandma Baranovich did the proposal mm-hmm. in a letter, and my sister Marge had the letter for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't know if Edwin will be able to find it, but I remember reading it. But Dad was older than Mother, mm-hmm. and he brought my mother over to Kasan here mm-hmm. as a young bride. And she was only 19 at that time, but she was well trained in everything. And I heard that the little old ladies here in Kasan just marveled at how she, you know, she could mm-hmm. how she prepared food and planting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were just amazed. She was well trained.
Yeah. Wow. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And we lived here until 1930.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad got sick, and Grandma invited us over to Heidelberg, you know. She said that we would get along better there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did while we were in Sheldon Jackson School.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. How about the names of your spouse and your children and grandchildren?
It says the names of the parents.
Oh, yeah, parent, mm-hmm. that question.
We answered that didn't
one.
We?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But spouse and children
oh,
and
I
grandchildren.
See. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents on my dad's side was Charles Vincent Bronovich, and they were not picked for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Bronovich saw my grandmother in Victoria. She was real beautiful. We have pictures to show too. And he just, I don't know how it happened that Bronovich was in Victoria, you know. That's where he was buried, and he was a Freemason.
Mm-hmm.
And had a big Masonic funeral there in Victoria. So he came up here. It seemed like he came from a very aristocratic family. I have a picture of a cousin. He's got his whole armor on. I was showing it to my grandson when he was here. I'd like to have somebody tell me what all his uniform means. Mm-hmm. A saber, mm-hmm. and on the table is sort of a German hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know if it's a mother's side or father's side, mm-hmm. but I plan to, you know, get a print of it. So
yeah.
It is an old original.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that I got. And let's see, what else did you want?
Tell me your mother's name again.
My mother's name was Nellie Scott.
Nellie Scott.
I think she had a middle name, Helen. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many children were there in your family, like brothers and sisters?
In mine?
Yes.
There were just four of us.
Four.
Yeah, two girls and two boys. Now just Edwin and I are left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there was yourself.
Oh, my sister Marge, mm-hmm. and then my dear brother Vincent.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
He and I were very close.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you have aunts and... Or, you know, brother, aunt, who would you consider your aunts and uncles that have passed on, I'm guessing, but do you remember aunts and uncles?
On mother's side, there was Josephine, Nancy, and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And Josephine was the first Native nurse graduate,
mm-hmm.
very first.
Oh.
Here's the very first.
Huh. Wow.
And then on my dad's side, they had a big family, the Bronovich did. Mm-hmm. And there's about 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Of course, I didn't know some of them, but I knew of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are the names of your children?
Oh, my children, immediate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the oldest is Herb.
Mm-hmm.
And then... The second one is Al,
mm-hmm.
Albert, better known as Godo.
Yeah.
And then there's Mary Ann. Mm-hmm. And then there's David. And better known as Pudge, Marge.
Right.
And the youngest is Johnny, who is now in his 50s. So they're all living and doing well in the Seattle area. You know.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Two girls are in Alaska, so
mm-hmm. That's good to have your daughters close, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's sure nice to be out here again.
Mm-hmm.
After all these years, such a wonderful memories.
Mm-hmm.
I had the most wonderful childhood here, you know. And when I come back here, it doesn't sadden me, but It's just wonderful to be back, yeah. You know, and to know my daughter is living here. And even my great-grandchildren have been here,
mm-hmm. You
know, so.
Yeah.
I just have the happiest memories mm-hmm. of childhood.
What are some of those memories that just come to your mind when you mm-hmm. think of some good times?
I always think of the long summer days we used to have here. There was very little rain. I don't know why it's raining every day now.
Right.
Very little rain. The uh-huh. long summers that we just, you know, played and played. We played with swimming and pick berries and eat berries.
Mm-hmm.
There was no restrictions.
Yeah.
And, of course, my mother would be working in the cannery here. Mm-hmm. And Dad would be sailing on his little boat. He had that boat built in Heidelberg by Jim Denzel.
Mm.
And Dad never left Kasan Bay to go fishing. He stayed in Carter Bay, the sockeye.
Yeah.
And then the fall fishing, he didn't go very far. Mm-hmm. Very sheltered, you know.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of time in Carter Bay. Now, those were my happiest memories. Dad would fish right in front of us. We'd see him, you know.
Uh-huh. What was the name of his boat?
It had an odd name. I never knew what it meant. It was private. Mm-hmm. And I found out why. Dad did not name it. Jimmy Denso did himself.
Oh.
Because for the simple reason that Dad used his own money mm-hmm. to build that boat. He didn't borrow. There was mm-hmm. nowhere to borrow anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. Denzel named it private. We never knew what private meant. Seems so natural, private.
Yeah, good heavens. So who all went to Carter Bay with you? Did the whole family go and you have a camp house there?
The whole family went, including Grandma. Grandma was always with us, mm-hmm. very close. And I remember your mother's family, too, mm-hmm. lived out in Grindle in sort of a little peninsula like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the big tides, it would become an island. You mm-hmm. know, the tide would come up
right,
so far.
Right,
yeah. I remember your grandparents living there.
Mm-hmm. In Grindle, yeah, or Carter Bay. Which one?
I am mixed up. I meant Grindle.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them in Carter Bay.
Yeah, I think they just...
The Brown Joneses went to Carter Bay.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah.
And the Williamses, Bill mm-hmm. Williams and his wife and family lived close to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those were wonderful days. And in front of us were always a ship that sunk with a lot of iron or ore in it, mm-hmm. you know, and they towed it there. Mm-hmm. And that was always in front of us, you know, just the bow and the masts were mm-hmm. still up. And one thing used to really excite us, the swallows would build their nest in the bow of that boat. You know? Oh, we used to think that was so wonderful.
Yeah.
And there was plenty of crab right there.
Oh, my goodness.
In the river, you know, mm-hmm. north of the river.
Mm-hmm. So you would have did you have a little house there in the summer?
Yeah, we did. Uh-huh. And it was half tent, and the kitchen area was a little wooden frame mm-hmm. where we cooked. And then the smokehouse was so big, as big as a house. Big one.
A lot of people cooked.
Yeah, and Mother would, most of the time, she'd put up about 200 sockeye.
Wow.
That's a lot. But it had to last, you mm-hmm. know, no other fish, just sockeye.
Mm-hmm. Was it, you guys put them in cans and can them there or jar them?
No, it was just dry smoke, newspapers, you know, you open it wide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mother put up.
Yeah.
And she would also take the backbone out. We called those suspenders,
mm-hmm.
you know. Oh, those were good.
Yeah, Mom's talked about that.
Oh.
She talks about the newspaper style.
Yeah, I could still do newspaper.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She said she never learned.
In smaller fish, you know,
mm-hmm.
if it's too big, it's kind of hard to mm-hmm. handle, especially dog salmon, which is what I like.
Yeah.
But you won't handle it.
It's too much. They're harder to work on probably because they're littler, uh-huh. huh?
Yeah, they're heavy, you know. Got to have bigger smokehouse than what she mm-hmm. has.
So how old were you about then when you were remembering going to Carter Bay?
from the time I was 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Past those two wonderful, we'd spend the spring in Grindle, 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and then move back to Kasan here. I can still feel that feeling I used to have because everything was so green when we came back.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds, robins singing. Oh, it was a lot of work moving all your, mm-hmm. you know, bedding and
yes.
everything else. But they were wonderful. They had the most wonderful
yes.
life, you know.
Did you have chores that you had to do related to the fishing and the...
Yes, I sure did. I was the workhorse. My sister wasn't allowed to do anything because she was not too well.
Oh.
That was the reason, you know. Packing all that up the beach and up the house. Mattresses, feather mattresses and stuff like that.
Wow.
And we even had a little store in Grindle, grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And the Joneses did too. Mm-hmm. What's his, Pauline's father's name? And Pauline is the only one still living, and she's 97 or 98.
Yes.
The only person left as of this year, the year 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. And I have pictures where... she's in the Kasan choir.
Mm-hmm.
I showed her that she recognized. I said, what is this group of people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, that's the choir, she said. And then I have another one of the Kasan band.
Oh, yes.
So they did real well.
Mm-hmm.
They built their own big town hall here.
Mm-hmm.
And all the saners put the money together.
Mm-hmm.
To buy the lumber for that beautiful hall. The floors were really, it looked like hardwood to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were not allowed to ever step in there. We used to like to, you know, basketball, they'd hoist the stairs up and mm-hmm. there's a big rope, you know, hang. We used to like to swing on that rope, and there was one certain man just for social doings.
Mm-hmm.
They were never incorporated, but they were so well organized. There was a man for everything, the mm-hmm. social, you know, the choir, like your grandfather was a choir leader.
Mm-hmm.
And they always practiced in our house. I remember listening. You know, the most wonderful singers. Wonderful. Mother had a little old organ
mm-hmm.
that she brought from Tin Kwan over here. And Grandpa actually got that for her 18th birthday.
Wow.
Imagine, in a little Indian village. And Grandma said it came from Montgomery Ward.
Wow.
I don't know the price. But Mother kept that organ so long. And she even left it when they moved suddenly, you mm-hmm. know, very suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
Then by the time I came home from Sheldon Jackson, Mother even had a piano waiting for me.
Oh, my.
All the sheet music on it, you know. They bought it secondhand in Ketchikan. And like I say, Harriet McAllister, you know, is another old-timer. We lived right across from them.
Mm-hmm.
She said to this day, she could still hear me playing, and even the song
right.
she mentioned, where our door was open, you know, beautiful summer days or whatever.
Oh.
She said she'll never forget that. Yeah. They were right across
mm-hmm.
the ways from us.
That's why you're so talented musically, huh? Because you really grew up singing and playing mm. music and hearing it all the time.
Yeah, I lived with music, and my children lived the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nice piano in Heidelberg.
Yeah, that's good.
So singing is what keeps families together.
It's nice.
It's wonderful. John played the guitar,
mm-hmm.
and one of the children played the ukulele,
mm-hmm.
and then we all sang, and... We never knew that we had an audience outside. People were listening to
mm-hmm.
us. So we had a nice little home in Heidelberg we built with our own little hands, you
mm-hmm.
know. I think I handed my husband every nail that he drove. I was so involved.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
Yeah. Those were happy years in Heidelberg, too.
I'm sure they mm-hmm. were. You know, you lived, saw both both communities grow and fade and grow.
Yeah.
Lots of different things.
Kasan, I'm glad it's is sort of reborn, you know, and I can come back here. And,
I'm so glad Mom moved back too, because now I come see her here.
Yeah, nice. It's just wonderful, you know.
I wanted to just back up a little bit, and you mentioned, you talked about Carter Bay a lot, but and a little bit about Grindel, but maybe just a little more about Grindel.
And
what you. What you did there and how you did the seaweed and maybe what chores you had to do to help or just a little bit more about what you remember about Grindel and seaweed.
Oh, those are fondest memories. Right now when I come in on a plane, I relive that stretch of land between Kasan and Grindel, how many times Dad went back and forth and he tow some people to Grindel, you know. And we never left until the school was out. The school was important, you know. And I don't know how many houses we lived in. People, you could choose any house you wanted except Jones's. Oh, let's see. Joe Jones was, they had a little store too. So there was two little stores out there. And then, of course, everybody trolled by hand, or we always had that little boat, you know, to troll on. And prices were very low. I can remember 5 cents a pound.
Wow.
White king salmon or something. And yet Dad would make enough money, you know, trolling. And we were always on the boat, you know, three of us. They never left us any place. Soon as Dad would make enough, we'd go back to Kasan and open our little ice cream parlor, you know. It was on the beach side. And your grandparents had a store next to us. It was called the Yellow Store because it was yellow, painted yellow. And Dad used to spend a lot of evenings down there, you know, how men are. They just spend the evening there. And but out at Grindel, the main thing was picking seaweed, you know. And in those days, they had no grinders, you know, so they'd make little cakes, press it together, and then put it in the cedar box about the same size, you know. And in between the layers, they put cedar boughs to flavor it. Oh, you could cut a chunk off, you know, like you would cheese.
Yummy. Sounds good.
It was wonderful.
Fun.
Some of us kids would go trolling. I used to be scared. I was so scared to catch a fish. I didn't want to catch any. It was too scary for me. I can remember going out trolling real close. You know, there was a nice little sheltered inlet where the boats, I can see every boat yet. And then in another cove over here, the people who owned the traps out there, there were set traps, you know, big ones, they'd tie up in there, you know. And they had a trap right outside where we call that long island, that long stretch. Either it's called Straits Island or it's called Ship Island. I remember it as Ship Island. It looks just like a battleship, you know. I was looking at it when I came out. It holds a lot of memories.
How many people had homes over there, or cabins, or places? Do you remember how many houses?
I remember everyone, and I have it all drawn out, you know.
Oh, good.
There was 14 houses, The last house on this end was by a Filipino all by himself. He was not friendly. He never talked to anybody. And the last one over here was the Yeltatsis. And then I have it all sketched out. I knew who lived in every one of those. And there was three community houses there. We stayed in there too. We moved around quite a bit. Wherever a house was vacant, we were welcome to use it. So those old community houses showed how long Grindel was used by our ancestors. And now, of course, the Forest Service, I think they own it. They did away with every house that's there.
Put up a new, different one, but
No, there's just nothing.
There. Yeah.
Because I went there not too long ago when Bobby was still living. We stopped there, you know. There's nothing. All overgrown now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the memories will never fade. Right.
Yeah.
They were happy memories. Little water running there.
Mm-hmm.
They built a little trough for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it ran down a little trough.
Yeah.
I don't remember anyone ever getting sick from the water. Tough, I guess.
Yeah. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Did you get things like gumboots and... gumboots and...
We just lived on it.
Lady slippers.
Mother knew just where to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the seaweed, you know, she'd dry out on this little... point I was talking about. She took a picture with Vincent when he was just a little guy. Marge has the picture right out there where she dries seaweed.
Yeah.
Doing all the natural things, living off the land, you know, and
nice.
Just have an abundance of everything.
Mm-hmm. Lots of food, good food.
Yeah.
Lots of Did you remember getting the Hudson Bay tea? Too? Did you guys gather Hudson Bay tea?
I think we did. Mm-hmm. I think we did because we drank it a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember where we picked it. That's the only thing.
Right.
There was a lot of salal berries, you know, on the side of Clarence Straits. There's a little point there, too. A lot of salal berries. So.
Yeah.
But it wasn't ripe by the time, you know, we were there. But leaves were there anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So it was a great life. That's all I can say.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Did your family have a garden that you tended somewhere and had to?
Right here in Kasan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We lived right where the schoolhouse is now, you know, about in that area.
Right.
The town hall was up here and a little old church was here. And so it was very convenient.
What kind of things did you grow in your garden?
Oh, Mother, most of it was potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
She had three varieties, and the one that was the best, and I heard it came from Germany. Your mother has it, the lady fingers, they call it. You know, they're long. And and then she'd have another plain white one, and then another red one, red rum one. She used to love to look at her garden from the back door in the kitchen. She'd stand there and look at it. Mother loved to plant. That's what they admired about her when she first came here. She knew how to do everything.
Yeah, that's great.
She was only 19.
Wow.
Yeah. Dad was 11 years older than her.
Yeah.
But they got along pretty good.
Yeah.
And the church was the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
They did away with Indian culture, Indian custom, you know, all together.
Yeah.
All together, and everything was the church and our social life, you know. That was wonderful.
Do you remember some of the preachers, their names, or who they were?
Oh, yes. Most of my childhood, we had one ordained Haida minister. There wasn't any more. The others were lay workers, you know, but this was Samuel G. Davis, Sam Davis. We called him Chinna Davis, and his wife Nana Davis. They were so close to us, like relatives. My, I loved her like I did my Grandma Branovich, you know.
Yeah.
She was so gentle, and everybody was gentle.
Kind.
When I think about how wonderful the people were.
Yeah.
As a child, I thought everybody was so, you know, it was just like one big family. Now the only one living is Pauline, and I went to see her. She now resides in the Pioneer Home. I went to visit her.
Yeah.
She goes to see her husband every day. Bill Blackstead.
Yeah.
I remember when they were courting in 1928 or 27, you know. Just think, they're still living.
I know. And she looks
I remember.
Young, like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Must have been that good food we would ate all your life.
Everybody wants to know what my secret is, you know, for longevity. I have no secret. It is my Indian food. I eat fish every day.
Yeah. Now they're finding out that
I always knew it was good for you.
Yes.
The seaweed and the fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got minerals, venison. You know,
all that stuff growing up.
Uh-huh.
I know that I wanted to talk a little bit more about your Haida, if you had Haida names in your family and what they were. Like, do you have Haida names?
The old dad did not have a Haida name. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. In fact, I don't think any of them did. But mother's Haida name, she never told us for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
It's okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Cousin Walter told me. I got a lot of history from Cousin Walter young. You know, he passed it on to me. It was passed on to him.
Right.
At his mother's knee. They knew for some reason Cousin Walter was going to live a long time. They knew it.
Mm-hmm.
So they pass all the history on to. But anyway, he told me mother's Haida name, and it is Jat Kangas. Jat is short for Jada.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you hear Jat, that's short for Jada. Jat Kangas. It means, as far as I can understand it, it means one, a woman who is visible. That's all I can. Jat Kangas.
Kangas, yeah.
She didn't like her name. So we never knew, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about your sisters? Did they have Haida?
No. Yeah. For some reason.
Yeah. And brothers?
Yeah. Marge was Grandma's pet, you know. Mm-hmm. She spent all her time with Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma's house is still here in existence.
Oh.
It's 100 years old.
Which one is that?
The one with the red roof where Juanita stays
now. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I can't believe it's still standing. Mm-hmm. I've gone inside what used to look so big to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's so small.
Yeah.
And the little red schoolhouse was close to her, you know. Mm-hmm. Every recess we'd run over there. She'd have the bread and jelly ready for us.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, she was quite a woman in her time. Mm-hmm. She had Indian royalty, which I don't mention at all, you know, except to people like you.
Mm-hmm.
And she had European royalty, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, she married into European royalty because the name Baranovich is translated into Baron of Vich.
Oh.
And it's quite a big, you know, quite a big name. I often wish I could go to the Austrian embassy and see if there's any relatives living. Because during the Second World War, I guess, Germany took over, didn't they, Austria?
Right.
That beautiful country where they filmed the Sound of Music.
Music, yeah.
And my sister and I always talked about going to Vienna, you know.
Yeah.
And we never did, of course.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Yeah.
Long way, not a word. How about Haida names for your kids? Did you give your children Haida names? Or
no, they didn't have any at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so you carry the Haida name pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Nobody thought of giving Haida.
I know you're one of the last people, you know, that has such good fluency in Haida. Did you speak the language when you were growing up, or did
both were very familiar,
mm-hmm.
Haida, and I talked Haida to some of my girlfriends, you know, and most of it was English too.
Mm-hmm.
But mother and dad talked quite, you know, often at home.
Mm-hmm.
It was so natural, and I feel comfortable on both sides of the fence. You know, I have such wonderful white friends, that it's just
Yeah.
really something.
Did your parents primarily speak Haida in the home, or was it a little of both?
A little of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of singing, you know, in English. And Dad also translated gospel songs like I've done, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I remember them, too.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And when they'd sing it in church, the little old ladies would be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
They had the cutest little old ladies when I was growing.
Do you remember when people stopped using Haida so much around the home or in the village? Or do you remember exactly how that happened? Or
I really, when they moved from old Kasan, they left all the that behind, you know, the culture. Because they were made to think it was evil, the missionaries. They meant well.
Mm-hmm.
I give them a lot of credit. They meant well. And Grandpa Edwin Scott took it real seriously. Mm-hmm. He physically put away all the... And he had the Chilkat blankets, about three of them, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He actually put it away physically, never to use it again, because the missionaries told them it was sinful, you know. So Grandpa took it serious, and he sent his children to Chumawa and Sheldon Jackson, and then the Branoviches went to Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania. My Aunt Cecilia, which is the youngest in the Branovich family, she chaperoned the Alaska Indian students clear across on a train to go to Carlisle Indian School. I have all kinds of pictures they took there, especially Auntie Cecilia.
Mm-hmm.
And she married a great baseball player in the major leagues, and the name is Valenti.
Oh.
Let's see what she's... Michael Valenti.
Sounds familiar.
He played shortstop in either, I've got it mixed up, Red Sox or the Cincinnati Reds, either one. So my Aunt Cecilia was a great baseball fan, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And they settled in Oklahoma.
Oh.
Altus or Altus. How do you pronounce Altus? Altus. She raised all her children there.
Wow.
In Oklahoma. That's where he was from.
Do you remember any your parents or maybe grandparents, maybe parents, talking about the move from Old Kasan to New Kasan?
Oh, yeah.
What did they tell you? Do you remember?
They told them if they moved to Kasan, they promised them a lot of good things. We'll build the sidewalk, we'll cut the lumber, we'll have a school and a church, all those good things. So that was the reason for moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, left Old Kasan.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Old Kasan, mind you.
Yeah.
That's where our chief lived, you know.
Yeah.
They said he was huge. He weighed over 300 pounds.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break for a minute? Okay. My next question is about where you went to school and how you got there and just any experiences you had in school.
Yeah, the little, I always refer to it as a little red schoolhouse. That's just what it was, you know. And it went only as far as the fifth grade. So Mother said, it's time for you folks to leave. And she went to Sheldon Jackson too. My mother did. My dad did. And my grandmother, Emma Tom, also. So our family represents five generations consecutively, 100 years.
It's Sheldon Jackson?
Uh-huh. Wow. Because our parents went there, they were very familiar with the school. And it was the most formal schooling you could have, you know, is to go to Sheldon Jackson School in Sitka, which was named after its founder, you know, Sheldon Jackson himself, the first missionary that landed on the shores of Alaska. And he came from England. And it was the most wonderful school. It covered everything from the Bible study to parliamentary law. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. it covered everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my sister and I left. It was the first time we were away from home, and it was hard. My sister took it better than I did. She never once cried. Mm-hmm. I cried all the time. And our matron was a little Scotch woman, a little old lady, and she'd call me Irma. Irma, what is wrong with you? I couldn't explain it to her. I was just homesick, you know. Mm-hmm. So there we were. We could have just as well been in China, you know. So far. I heard it was hard for my mother especially, too. I heard about it afterward. She cried. Her tears would fall into the wash tub when she's washing the clothes we left behind. Yeah. So, in time, then I got used. I got involved in everything that was musical. Everything. Glee club, you name it. The orchestra, piano playing, and Bible was the main, you had to take the Bible study in. Mm-hmm. We had to memorize chapters and chapters, which I still remember to this day, after I don't know how many years, 70 years now. Mm-hmm. And it comes in handy a lot of times, you know, where there's no Bible, I just use, because I've always made it a part of my life to visit the sick. I've done that for so many years. Mm-hmm. And towards, you know, the end, I've been there. Mm-hmm. So there we stayed from we left September of 1925. Mm-hmm. And we went on an old steamer and landed in Sitka. And there we landed, both my sister and I landed in what they called Small Girls Building. It was Stevenson Hall was the name of all the buildings were named after somebody. And we enjoyed being there, and after I got used to everything, boy, there was no place like Sheldon Jackson, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. So when I graduated there in 1933, from 25 to 33.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you took that steamer, did you pick the steamer up here in Kasan, or did you have to
go in Ketchikan. The name of it was S.S. Rogers, the name of the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Then would you come home in the summer? And
I didn't. I couldn't afford to go home, so I'd stay. Mm-hmm. After having 16 tables in the dining room, it would go down to 4. Quite a drastic change. It was a little bit hard the first week, and then too, I'd get used to that. Mm-hmm. And my children, my boys, often ask me, "Mom, how could you do that? Stay behind." Yeah. And my boyfriends are leaving, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you worked. Mom said she worked. Everybody that went to Sheldon Jackson had jobs.
Oh yes.
And yours was in the dining hall. Was that it?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You went to school half a day. And you worked half a day, you know, like laundry, bakery, and we had home economics, you know, cooking and sewing.
So you stayed every summer, though, pretty
much.
I did. Uh-huh. You didn't come home to work in the cannery like some
yeah, of them. Yeah, we used to go to Scowl Arm to work in a cannery.
Oh.
Scowl Arm, yeah, there was a cannery there.
Mm-hmm. Did you work in the cannery here at all, at the Kasan cannery?
No, yeah. I didn't. I was only like 12.
When that came.
So my sister did, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was 14, so.
A little bit older. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything. What was the Depression era like? For you and your family. Do you remember that?
World War II?
Well, World War II, and then...
I remember World War I.
Yeah.
It didn't bother us very much here in Kasan. I can remember Mother rationing only the sugar. Mm-hmm. That's all. I can barely remember, you know. I didn't know why, but a lot of the boys, some of the boys from here went to just training camps. And Healy Jones went to Texas, and when he came back, they just called him Tex. Just because he went up. Yeah. I remember the boys coming home with that, you know, funny hat they wore in World War I and that brown khaki cloth.
Right.
There was quite a few. Some of my cousins, you know, the Youngs went, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who were all your cousins that lived here, and who are they, I guess? Who were they, and how did you relate?
Yeah, the cousins, like lately, so many of my cousins have died, you know, and I always tell the people when I talk, we all come from Grandma Branovich. Every one of my cousins. And her daughter, Caroline Branovich, was the first child. And then she was, her marriage was arranged too. She picked, they picked somebody famous, a high caste from Skidigit, Paul Young. The very first Paul Young came from Skidigit. And that marriage was arranged. Auntie Carrie was, you know, of the same equal. And she had five boys and one girl. Her name was Agnes. And so Cousin Agnes was named after her.
Oh.
Yeah. So you can imagine how many cousins I have.
Yes.
From that group. I also have, I have a large sheet this big with, you know, the genealogy I did long ago. You know, at the very top, of course, is our chief, you know. Then Grandma Branovich, and then Auntie Carrie Young, and all the boys. And then Rosemary and them, and Caroline, they come from that group of brothers, you know. So I got that all.
Yeah.
Done.
Now, when you say at the top is your chief, who is who?
Chief Skowal was at the very top.
Yes.
So, but I, as it goes down to Val and them, and then Val's daughter Rita, and then those other little ones, you know, that they can fill in themselves, you know.
Do you, were you here when they did redid the community house, the whale house, when they did the CCC?
Oh, that community house? No. They did that after we, that CC camp, I think. We left in 30. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, people miss my mother and dad so much. Is that on?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They did, I'm sure.
Forget about it.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to forget.
That's all right. It's better.
Yeah.
Better than to be
always aware of it, you know, following around. Were you raised a Christian? That's the last one. I know you're very...
Sure was.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I knew. My parents were so involved in the church. Of course, Mother had to be there. She was the only one who learned to play the piano in Sitka. It was called, I think it was called Sitka Training then. I don't know. So she was, you know, very... very much needed, and they were so missed when they left. I even heard one of her best friends almost got sick. She missed Mother so much.
So you don't, do you remember any Haida spiritual practices before Christianity, or hear, or
no,
remember hearing anything? Pretty much.
Mother was raised in the culture in Tlin Kwan on the west coast of Prince of Wales Island. But it stopped there. And then we, all we knew was Christianity, you know. The main thing, and it seems as though the next big important thing was the Alaska Native Brotherhood. They believed in it. So Dad wore his little A and B pin every day, sort of. He always wore a navy blue, they called it serge, you know.
Yeah.
They wore that every day.
So they were both your parents, A&B, A&S. Yes.
And for a long time, we've lost record of the camp number. But Bill and Pauline think it was 16, number 16.
Yeah.
So That's the way we were raised, in a nice... I thought our home was a palace, really. Mother liked to paint. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing. Mm-hmm. She always painted beautiful pastel green. Mm-hmm. And then the lower part was stained and varnished, you know, some kind of wood material.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to think it was so pretty.
Yeah.
Nice big kitchen the length of the house.
Yeah.
And she would put up some kind of shiny paper that you can, you know, wash off.
Sure. Gosh.
To me, it was like a palace.
Now, you said, was that your grandma's house, the one that Juanita's living in? Did you live down there too, or did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always lived with grandma.
That was where you lived.
Man.
Yeah.
Marge has a picture that was taken 1904, and they were celebrating 4th of July because they had a red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what they call that, cheesecloth, like, you know, around the whole porch. Mm-hmm. And the family took a picture on the porch there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have it. Edwin said, take all the pictures you want, you know, after Aunt Marge died.
Right.
Marge's sister.
Yeah.
I did. Real valuable pictures I brought home.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's wonderful to have pictures like that.
So Kasan was the most wonderful little village that I ever know.
Mm-hmm. How do you remember celebrating holidays here? And
oh, yeah.
How were they? What did you do that was...
Oh, that was so well organized. The men would get the biggest tree, spruce tree, you know, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had candles burning. Never had an accident from it, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest holiday was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was so wonderful, nice big hall. And then the men would get crab apple trees and then tie real apples on it, you know. And then when everything was over, they'd shake it and you'd just grab all the apples that fell to the floor. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Really wonderful.
Fun.
I remember hanging stockings.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last couple questions I'm going to ask you are some of the more difficult ones, but, you know, that take a little bit of thinking, but you've probably thought about these already in your life. And it's the one that I'm thinking about here is number 9 on your sheet, if you look at it. As we're learning more about our traditions, what should we be teaching our children about being Kasan Haida? What do you think it's important?
Is that number 10?
9 and 10 are kind of together. What's important to pass
on? The groceries?
Oh. On the first page, I moved back here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
These here. This one, because I was wondering, are we learning about our tradition? What should we be teaching our children about being a Kasan Haida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is...
And what's important to pass on, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine.
I, for many years, you know, the privilege of changing one alphabet, like I told you, the combination of H and L for the sound of sh, sh. It's close to TH, but not quite.
Yeah.
So there we were. Inside of 2 weeks, we took one letter at a time to learn it, but it was a little easier because we spoke Haida. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest thing to teach someone who can't speak. And yet, you know, I did it in school. I was involved in the school system. And then we illustrated, like I did for your mother, the sounds that are no equivalency to it in English.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew because we had the word, like, for instance, you know, this is, when you speak Haida, it's really, so she and Pauline and I can count them on my finger how many fluent speakers, but out in the Queen Charlotte Islands, there's more, and younger people talk Haida. But now you have to be late 70s or your 80s to be able to talk Haida. So that was the beginning of some wonderful beginnings, you know.
Yeah, and you worked on the dictionary, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that was a lot of work, I bet.
Yeah. The first we tackled the noun dictionary. And then on my own, I was still on, I'm still getting paid from the Haida Society, you know, very small pay. I got curious. I wonder how verbs act in Haida. I was so curious. So I started collecting verbs. I collected 800 verbs. I quit because I was kind of repeating myself. However, Jeff told me I could have gotten 1,500. I could, you know, I could have done that. So, however, I stopped at 800. And I start trying to find out a grammatical pattern that it follows. It was perfect. I never saw anything like it. Grammatical patterns. Man, that's interesting. So then I thought, well, I'm going to take it into, I'm going to take it into senses, you know. See what past tense, or tenses I meant. Did I say it? I took it into the past tense, present tense, and future tense. And then from another linguist, Jeff Lear told me there is two past tenses. Now, this is really advanced Haida. It is, you know, very difficult. And he called, I had the linguistic term. Oh, and the simple word for that second past tense was realization. Oh. That's the word. Yeah. I won't go into trying to explain it, you know, but that's what I did in the verb dictionary. And then I would take that, use the word verb, and have an English illustration. Then underneath it, I had the Haida illustration. So those Haida tenses were really something.
Yeah, I know. I've looked at your dictionary, and I wish I knew more about linguistics. To understand some of the
things. Would, even at my age, I still wish I could take linguistics so I'd know the terms, you know. The only one I know is that guttural, and maybe one more. But I'm thankful for the wonderful experience I've had with four linguists. I feel privileged. I learned a lot, you know, and was able to put it into use, producing the books.
Right, those are valuable. You know, we need to.
And on my very own, not with the Haida Society, I decided, well, I'll do the Bible too, you know. So I took the whole book of John, translated. I started in 76 and I got through in 81. And it's been laying around in a briefcase since 81. I can't get the Bible societies to help me, you know. They said, who's going to read it? Are they still talking Haida, the American Society, and the Weymouth Bible Society? There's others, four different. I still have their answers. I save their envelopes, you know. I still have that. But wherever I can, I'm no longer working. I no longer teach, but I do it on my own. Wherever I can plant a little seed, even if you learn one Haida word and you... It's like planting seeds. Some of it will grow and some will fall in rocky, like the Bible says, you know, fall in rocky ground and it'll just die.
Yeah.
But that's the experiences I've had.
Yeah. You've done lots of translations then.
A lot of it.
What kind of things do you think about, have to think about when you're translating? Because the languages are very different, I'm guessing, aren't they? I mean, is it hard sometimes to... find an exact translation.
Oh, yes. When you like I do the Lord's Prayer a lot, you know, it's a request. I sang it twice. I'm sang twice at Cousin Hank's, you know, funeral. They wanted me to sing at both. It seems more powerful in your own language. I don't know what it is. I get overcome. I get some emotion I know what it is, you know, and some people don't believe in it. I always have to have assistance to, you know, take me off the stage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that has been very, very valuable. As, you know, as late as only a month ago.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you sing Amazing Grace, too. And that's powerful, I think, mm-hmm. in Haida. Mm-hmm.
I might do that for you.
Yeah, oh, that would be lovely. Mm-hmm. You have such Right. Okay, yeah. Do you want to take a break?
There after 57 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't practice too long. My voice gives out.
Mm-hmm.
I play for our little Bible study at the church and play the piano for them, and they really like it. You know, but my voice gives out altogether. That's why I retired from the choir, starting with, I started to sing here in Kasan when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
In the church.
Yeah.
Mother played for me, and then I did the same thing with Pudge. Mm-hmm. I played for her, and she'd sing at Christmas time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was three, but I was eight when I started. Mm-hmm. To us, music was just so much a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. That's wonderful.
But I would like to do one of the gospel songs that I translated myself and have used it a lot. So before my voice gives out, I'll try to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
And
happy, and everyone will be happy to hear,
mm-hmm.
whichever is best for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like to do a few songs that I transcribed in Haida and have used it quite a bit, you know. People request it because there's no one else to do it. But the one that I do the most is How Great Thou Art, and also Amazing Grace. So I'll try to do them. How Great Thou Art. O salana di ola, gen an golden out kingen, gen uadlu wan, slang erudan tlasayan, gait gaius kingen, yilang ayus kudangan, danda gui gai, zengwai ungudas kingan. Wagen di hazanai, salana dengahus kajugan. Saudang idam, saudang idam. Wagen di hazanai, salana dengahus kajugan. Saudang idam. Saudang hidang.
It's beautiful. Makes me tears to my eyes.
Mine too.
How Aftaguang.
And then I'll do Amazing Grace. I will do the first verse twice because I don't have the translation in front of me.
Okay.
Hans lassen golden Augen krieg jus get lagen digging an and hanga kagandayan
Gaugagan wayat di gakagandang di hang kagagan gyan wayat uskengan hands las an kaldang agang kigyuts get lagang a digging on and da hang a kagandayan o di gaugagan wayat di gakagandang di hang kagagan gyan why do gins kingan.
I went to Guam. Thank you so much. Oh, that was wonderful. I'm so privileged to hear that from you today.
Thank you, folks.
Because I mainly wanted what you'd like to add.
The only thing I can say is I'm so glad that you and Willard and the rest are carrying on this work where I wasn't able to do that, carry it on. I can feed you. I can do anything in Haida for you, but I'm glad you folks are taking that responsibility over, and so I'm glad to be able to be a part of it, I think it's just wonderful. So I thank you.
Thank you.
For this. Little interview that worked out, just the way it was supposed to be. I missed it in Ketchikan, where I live,
Right.
I've been in Ketchikan 41 years now, and I've seen a lot of changes for the best, as far as material things, and see the improvements there. And I'm always thankful that I moved to Ketchikan. I had such wonderful opportunities, and after the crises in my life in 58 and by 1960, I felt that I need to fill that vacancy. And even in my deep sorrow, I thought of why not go to school, go back to college, and that filled that vacancy, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I studied, but I did, and it felt good. First, I attended the community college where they had a clerical practices course, I have my certificate for that. I got a wall full of certificates and diplomas from my eighth grade on down, and then I took regular college course that Sheldon Jackson that offered. And here, what a change in Sheldon Jackson, where they forbade us to speak our own languages. I didn't miss it at all. I was so used to English, it didn't bother me at all. And here the same school was having these studies, for the languages. It was Tlingit and Haida. They did not work with the Tsimsheans for some reason. So it was quite a turnaround.
Well, we're certainly grateful that you did that, because I don't know where we'd be now without that, We wouldn't have anything, if you hadn't.
Yeah, I'm more than glad to do it when the circumstances are, here I am back in Kasan after 70 years or something.
It's quite.
It is very emotional, but I don't get carried away. I'm just grateful.
Feels good, yeah. Feels good to have you here, too.
I look forward to working with your mother, too.
Yes.
you know.
Yeah.
I love working with her.
Yeah, she loves to work with you.
I was that way with someone else, Lorena Jong, fluent speaker. And she was my assistant when we taught at Valley Park. And we used to laugh so much that kids would ask, what are you folks laughing about? Oh, we couldn't help ourselves. She had a sense of humor that I just loved. You know, that's just up my alley.
Oh, yes. That would be so good to have you and Mom on video showing.
Conversational. Yes. We can do that.
Yes.
And
people can see how that looks, you know. When
We could kind of pronounce them, you know, very slowly and clearly.
Yes.
When you teach, until they can, you work from your lips first, and then the front, the teeth, and then the middle sounds, and then the back sounds, and then the guttural. Did I ever draw you a picture?
No, but I saw the one Mom.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Get reprints of that.
Yes.
Have your own.
Yes.
The alphabet too,
right,
and do the best you can with
it. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
So I thank you for...
Yes, and...
I'm glad you had the time, and you must be... you'll be leaving.
Yeah.
Shortly.
I wanted to give you your seaweed and have you say stew.
Oh.
Stew. You could, yeah. Maybe you could say stew. I don't pronounce it very well. This is from Grindle. And this was for you, for your participation.
Oh, how nice. I like the different flavors.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and you say, how you say skew? Skew?
The pronunciation for seaweed is skew. Sound.
Okay.
See, you're not familiar with that. It's a lower sound.
Right.
It sounds like a middle.
Yeah.
Hill.
Good.
How ah. Any other word you might? Gumboot.
Gumboot.
Gumboot. Oh, it's a short little one syllable word, and it starts with a pinched sound. Pinched T. Is there it is. Just one.
Okay, so gumboot. Gumboot. Now, is there? There must be a different word for the lady slipper, red gumboot, right?
Oh,
same?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. How about Hudson Bay tea?
Yeah. That one is two words. It means the medicine that saves. Hil-kagan.
Hil-kagan.
Hil-kagan. Say it three times. Hil-kagan. The medicine that saves, and people believed in it. They really believed in it. They thought it could even cure TB, which it did.
Wow. Now, there's two kinds. Mom always told me, the kind that grows down and the kind that grows up. And she said...
That I don't have a real authority of.
Yeah.
I've heard it too myself. That the ones that grow up this way are poisonous. The ones that are this way are
good.
Are good.
Yeah, right. I wondered that because we saw some and the kind that grew up. And it's different. But
I believe in it. I was raised on Hudson Bay tea, especially in Grindle. Pot was always on.
Right.
Or beside the fire, you know, sitting there.
Yeah, good.
I hope this has been helpful for you.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm
so grateful. We are. We are. We're so glad that you can help. And
Can we hear?
Yeah. I should have kept track of the number.